Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate. Captain Patrick, we are your crew. And we're going to navigate the latest boating news and information. What is the latest boating news and information, Patrick? I'm glad you asked.
Please continue.
It's the Miami International Boat Show.
The what?
Miami International Boat Show, which kicks off Thursday. And I was leaving that open for you to answer. Do you know?
It opens this Thursday.
In Miami.
Well, technically, no, it's not Miami, but close.
Mean? Miami Beach? What,
no,
South
it's not
Beach?
Miami Beach.
Where? What do you call it? Key Biscayne?
A land of disputed territory between Miami and Virginia Key.
Ah, okay. Well, it's going to be there.
The Rickenbacker Causeway, how's that?
Follow the signs, follow the arrows. The Miami International Boat Show starting Thursday.
No, follow the signs, follow the arrows to the parking, at which point you will then be whisked away on a lovely 20-minute jaunt by water or a 40-minute jaunt by bus.
Yeah, a scenic view of Miami. All right, we'll leave it at that.
I don't think the trip's quite that long, but, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully they have more vehicles this year.
Well, do the water taxi thing. That's way more fun, as long as the weather's cooperating.
No, don't do the water taxi thing.
Why? It's more boat friendly. It's more like boat, you know, it's about the whole experience. Why not take the water taxi? You should. I think that's part of the experience.
I would like to see them, with the water taxis, use environmentally friendly propulsion for that event, since they're going over some very sensitive areas there as far as the seagrass and the manatee zones and the other stuff. Because with the concert, it's certainly more traffic than you would get in a normal span of 3 or 4 days. And I wish they would kind of step up and maybe partner up with one of the electric motor sponsors, you know, of the show, and equip all the water taxis, like with Torquedo electric outboards or something like that. What do you think about that?
I don't care. As long as they get us there, that's all that matters.
How about by sail?
They're floating above water. You know, I mean, and they're not cruising fast.
Can you imagine if it was all sailboats taking you? Have to be tacking back and forth.
That would be part of the experience as well. They could
3 hours later
take a sailboat from Strictly Sail right over the boat show. All right, look, Keith Ammons is with us, Captain Keith. And he works with Regulator Boats, and he follows the boat show news quite a bit in his position that he even holds today. Keith, how are you, buddy? Welcome.
I am doing very well. Thanks for having me. I'm kind of excited about Miami myself. And
yeah.
And I have to say, I'm going to be riding on the water taxis when I get there. And
in
I
your face, Patrick. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you would take a sailboat if they offered it from Strictly Sail. It could be part of that.
No, he would take a Regulator center console.
Well, maybe he could, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, I just imagine the quad 350s across the back get me there a little quicker than a sailboat.
Do they sound like that? Or
no, they
not
do
really?
Not.
Not at
no,
all.
No, they're four strokes. They're nice and quiet.
Okay.
But I kind of feel like that.
Yeah, okay, well, they look like that because there you get these big monster engines sitting
on
the back.
See, there you go. Regulator Marine, the official water taxi of the Miami International Boat Show.
Well, they're not electric. You don't seem to be a fan, Patrick, from what you said earlier.
I am a fan of Captain Keith and of Regulator Boats. I am not a fan of Greg Holt. So, there.
Well,
how's that?
Tell us something we don't know. Seriously, Patrick.
Because Captain Keith and I can actually have a conversation, a debate. Even
not if I'm here, you are
civil and polite on air, where you and I just evolves into
Patrick,
nonsense.
If
what he's saying is, Greg, I'm a good pretender.
Yeah, exactly. Because if he was here in the flesh and not on the phone, he'd beat you to a bloody pulp. Come on, let's be real. All right, moving on. I mean, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the boat show, you know, more seriously. I mean, whether you take the water taxi, the buses, or whatever, you get to the site, which I think is nice. I mean, last year they had some growing pains, but I have a feeling it's going to be much smoother this year.
I think so, too. My feeling it is. I've seen our crew's already down there moving in boats and stuff, and I think they had some folks, first initial folks walking through, you know, media and VIP guests yesterday, and I saw some photos from that as well. And it looks like they have made tremendous improvements. I'm like, the water taxi doubled in capacity this year, so right. It should be the easy way to get to and from the show. And they added 200 slips to the in-water marina for a lot of big boats coming over from Collins Avenue and stuff to be at the show. So I'm excited to see all those boats in the water.
Yeah, I am too. I think it'll be, you know, if it just continues on like the last day of last year, I think the show is going to be a huge success because it took them a couple days to kind of work out some of these transportation kinks with the new location last year. And, you know, people seem to be somewhat optimistic. I mean, Rusty isn't with us today. Because he has to go work and sell boats.
Not sell boats. He's got one, I believe, sold.
Well, that's why he can't. He has, you know, thanks to Trump, he's not doing the show today. I had to work that little dig in there.
Trump stopped in Jacksonville on his way down and bought a correct craft?
I don't know. Maybe. We'll have to find out next week when we talk to Rusty.
Well, anyway. You know, not only Rusty doing good, but I will say the reports from all the initial boat shows so far from us, and I think even some of our direct competitors, has been very, very, very positive. You know, we had a record New York show this year. I just talked to someone sells, you know, boats out in Seattle, and they had a record show in Seattle. So
yeah.
It's phenomenal that we are doing better as an industry right now across the board.
Hold on. Patrick doesn't believe you. Uh-oh. Do you? Come on. Spit it out. We know how you feel.
No, the industry continues to improve. Okay. We're still not back to our numbers where we were pre-Great Recession. However, the segments that are leading the recovery are good. But they're really not the segments that we would like to see leading the recovery. There's other ones, which is basically fiberglass pleasure boats, okay, that we would like to see larger numbers with. You know, you still have aluminum kind of leading the pack. Center consoles continue to do extremely well. The outboard power, which we've talked about, you know, probably ad nauseum the last few years, is really, really kind of stoking the buying public. And you're going to have a lot more manufacturers that are going to have those offerings, but you still have a segment there that is lagging a bit.
Well, sure. There's still several segments that's lagging. And not saying those segments will go away, but I think the boater is changing out there. And, you know, I'm excited from Regulated Marine. We're in a category that's, you know, one of the top two or three leaders, depending on how you slice that pie. But outboards are doing extremely well. Center consoles are doing well. Pontoon boats are doing well. Across the board, as an industry, we are above the numbers we were in 2008 as far as revenue dollars.
Uh-oh. We're not above the Great Recession, Greg.
You know, same and simple, boats cost more nowadays. So the revenue is back to where it was, but not the number of units.
Ah, okay. Well, there you go. Well, so it's kind of, you know, cup is half full kind of thing, maybe?
No, I think we're still optimistic. I think something that Captain Keith and I both touched on a few weeks ago is, you know, we are kind of waiting on that expected downturn, you know, as everything runs in a cycle. So we'll see if it's a small dip or if it's a sustained trough,
well, what if we've been in a downturn?
We have not.
There's no way we've been in a downturn.
No.
You don't think so,
The numbers are up. He just said the numbers are up.
I think if you look from, you know, about 2010 forward, the past 5 to 6 years, it's been a steady, slow growth, which is different from past growth. So some people would argue the fact, since it's been such a long, steady growth, that the downturn will be really insignificant. But, you know, there's others argue that if you look at the cycle over the past, you know, several decades, we should be expecting a downturn. Most of the things that I have been reading, they expect this downturn, whether it's a small one or a big one, probably in the 2019 time frame.
Hmm. 2019, we're predicting a slight downturn for the boating industry.
Yep, I think it's going to be very slight, and it's not going to be noticeable, but that point can be argued. And, of course, when we're talking about the future, we can all have our own opinions and argue it however we want.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we can predict the future. I mean, we can use our...
Put your magic eight ball away.
I got one of those Swami things that Carson used to wear. Yeah.
I'll Ben Carson?
Maybe. It could have been his. I don't know. It wasn't the same thing that Johnny used to wear. All right. We got more coming up on The World of Boating. I promise. I'm predicting the future.
You're listening to The World of Boating Radio Network.
Hey, boaters. You know, there's a lot of things to consider when you're out on the water. But what about when you want to jump in it? Well, like for a snorkel or even a dive. That's just one reason why you, as a boater, should be a member of Divers Alert Network. DAN is your dive safety organization. However, many of the benefits you get from being a DAN member go far beyond in-water activities. Just by being a member of DAN, you get access to 24-hour DAN Travel Assist. This program provides evacuation assistant coverage up to $100,000 when you travel over 50 miles from home for both diving and non-diving injuries. When you consider it's just $35 for individuals and $55 for entire families, it's kind of silly not to be a member of DAN if you like spending time out on the water. There's many more benefits, way too numerous to list here. So go to dan.org and get all the info. Whether you're into diving or not, see for yourself why it makes total sense for every boater to be a member of Divers Alert Network. That's dan.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with The World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
You guys, where's Haley?
She is on a boat in the marina, putting you in her rear view mirror. Boats have those, don't they?
Come on down to my boat, baby. Come on down where we can play. Come on down to my boat, baby. Come on down, we'll sail away.
This is The World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, and also Captain Keith from Regulator Boats is helping us out right now. So, you know, the thing is, we're getting ready for the Miami International Boat Show. That's exciting. But we can't forget about the Super Bowl. And I'm guessing, well, Patrick, did you even watch the game or did you bother?
No. I watched the game.
Okay. What? You liked it?
Can we talk about if you're going to ask me a question, okay,
yeah.
Ask the question, right. Pause, allow me a chance to, in that millisecond, formulate a response.
I don't got time
respond.
For this. Keith, what do you think? Did you watch?
You know what? I did watch the game, and I thought it was a phenomenal game.
It was.
So I thoroughly enjoyed that.
It was history, and now we find out there's a boating element to the Super Bowl.
There is, of course. Coach Belichick had a boat called V rings. V as in for five, the Roman numeral five rings. He donated that boat to charity before the Super Bowl even happened because he had already bought a new boat and he had named it VI rings, of course, for six rings.
Yeah.
So now, after the game, my big question for him is he going to donate it or get rid of that one? Because he has to have a new boat called VII rings.
Well, I tell you what, it put a lot of pressure on him, didn't it?
It sure did.
And I'm guessing if he made any calls during halftime. Like, hey guys, can we slow down on the production? You know, I don't know. But he didn't need to. Maybe he didn't even bother. That was impressive. But yeah, so he donated his old boat, five rings, to who?
Well, it was to the Newport Sailing Center, which is kind of funny. It was a Grady White center console fishing boat to go offshore fishing in. Hmm. He donated to a sailing group there in Newport.
Okay, what are they, bad sailors, and they kind of need a backup?
Well, it could be that, but I think they're going to use it for the regattas, for their spot boat and other stuff to see things and help with all their little regattas they're having for the sailboats there.
If it was me, I'd sell it. Because, it belonged to Bill Belichick, and then take that money and
buy
some new sailboats.
And they might, but he has another one now, since he's already had another one before the Super Bowl named VI Rings.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen now after the Super Bowl? He's got to get a VII Rings.
Yeah.
So what Keith is saying is Bill Belichick is the cause for the boating recovery.
Well, he could be. That's three boats. If he wins again next year? Is he going to get him a new boat next year?
I would think so, and I bet Regulator would cut him a deal. Am I right there, Keith, or what?
Well, I don't know if we cut him a deal, but I'll put him in a boat.
There you go.
Hey, Keith, with the time that we have remaining with you on the air, with the boat show, you know, the last several years, you know, we've seen the new stuff. We've seen, continued development with the outboards, the explosion with the center console market. Fly bridges or sedan bridges are staging a comeback in the larger cruiser category. Other than stabilizers making inroads into the smaller boats, 26 foot, what do you see this upcoming year as we get ready to go into the 2018 model year? What's going to be the next big thing in the boating industry?
Well, I think I'm expecting a couple of things there. I understand that several of the outboard manufacturers have major announcements to make, so I think that we're going to see some advancements in outboard power, which is going to continue to push those segments that we talked about a moment ago. I don't know what those announcements are going to be, but I'll have my eyes open when I get to the show looking for what's going to be unveiled from the major outboard manufacturers. And the second thing I think that is becoming more and more common, and as electronics have advanced, it is now so, so easy to have everything fly-by-wire, autopilots, and all the joystick operation there. And that is almost becoming a standard on many of these boats. And plus, the cost of that technology is continually going down. So I think that that's the next phase, and I think we'll see aspects of that start getting announced and boats popping out with those type things. So you can just, step on and, you got your wristwatch thing. Because now, even with Garmin, you can now control your boat by your new Garmin wristwatch.
Well, I got an Apple Watch, too, and I think it has an app for operating boats, or it should.
And to be clear, that means that Greg actually has a band on his wrist, and it's got a large apple on it that he eats. That's what he means by
Is it a Granny Smith or a Gala?
It looks like a Granny Smith.
It's red.
Here's my prediction for boats here in the next year, 2 years. We're going to see the role of outboards continue to increase into the recreational, that cruiser category. And as the outboard manufacturers up their game with their offerings and their horsepower availability, I think you're going to see the 30, 32, 40, possibly up into the 42-foot range, go outboard power with a lot of these traditional gas or diesel boats, or even with the ones that were equipped with IPS or Zeus Axios drives.
I can agree with you. I do think that outboard power is is eating away at the market from inboards and especially stern drives. The IOs are the ones that's suffering the most from the expansion of outboards.
Hmm. Why is that? Why is that trend evolving?
Well, it's because now they can hit more horsepower in them. You know, if you look back a decade ago, there wasn't enough horsepower able to put in, you know, an aluminum block outboard to compete with an IO. Nowadays, you know, you're seeing, you know, even look at the big 7 engines and stuff like that. You're seeing big, huge amounts of horsepower allowed to be in the outboard. And so then now when you can get the leg out of the water, you become less maintenance. You don't have the intercooled system that you do in an IO, which is a traditional car motor on the inside. So many maintenance advantages, and now that the horsepower is there, I think it's going to take over IOs.
Okay. I've always thought it was just the, you know, now guys can present their equipment, which attracts more boat fluff.
Well, there's a psychological factor that certainly that touches on, but to exactly what Captain Keith was saying, especially when it comes down to the maintenance, you have less moving parts, less parts that are exposed to the corrosive elements that salt water presents, and in some instances even freshwater presents to especially boats that are going to stay in the water for a considerable amount of time.
Sounds good. Keith, thank you so much. We'll see you at the Miami International Boat Show. By the way, Boat Show Girl was texting us this week. She says, hey, is Keith going to be there? I need to find him. So expect to find a stalker dressed in tights and a cape and probably a mask.
Awesome.
All right, there you go. I warned him. Simple as that. And we got more coming up on the World of Boating. Stay close.
Listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, that's me alone, Captain Patrick. And, you know, we sent Keith on his way so he could, you know, prepare to head down to Miami for the boat show. But now we have one of Captain Patrick's co-workers, right? Superiors.
It depends on who you ask.
Well, I think we'll ask him.
But joining us live, actually, from the Miami International Boat Show.
He's already there.
Sweet. Is Regal Marine Industries delivery captain, boat show guru, and all around terrific human being.
Sometimes
Captain Frank Stober.
Yes, Frank, sometimes known as Patrick Superior. Am I right?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
I want to clear up one thing right now. Patrick is the boat show guru. He's trying his best to get rid of it.
I'm sorry, Frank.
Anybody that will take it.
Uh-huh.
I was sick this week.
Yeah, sick of boat shows.
Well, so, it's a new location. It's a new view and everything. It's fresh. It is
fresh. Yes. So, Frank, how are things going down there? I mean, let me back up. I know how things are going, but how are things looking?
Things are looking like a boat show. As you know, Patrick, we're going to have a boat show whether we want one or not. So, you know, things have a way of working their way through. It's truly, we need to get a camera crew one time. This is the ultimate reality show for anybody that has anything to do with boating.
Yeah.
Anything from dropping boats to getting boats there to bridges closing to, if you can dream it, it'll happen to you. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. What's been your biggest challenge so far, Frank?
I would say probably them closing the new river with a train bridge, and everybody figured on, we bring these boats, these larger boats down, Greg, and we put them in the water with travelists, and then you run them to the show.
Yeah.
Well, if you were behind that bridge as of midnight last night, you are going no place for 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
So that's about a $10,000 to $12,000 tactical error. So luckily we're able to avoid that, but...
Was that the boat show, or was that the U.S. Corps of Engineer? Was that the Coast Guard?
That is the train company down here, CCS or CTT or whatever.
Oh,
runs the train.
Okay, them damn trains down in South Florida, figures. All right, well, we'll find out how this was resolved. I'm figuring a ramp of some sort. Let's see, that's Patrick's gig. More coming up.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
My baby loves to fish. She wants to do it all the time. Early in the morning, in the middle of the night, she's hooked, and now she can't get enough. Man, that girl sure loves to fish.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, the first mate, Captain Patrick, and our buddy Frank.
Captain Frank.
Captain. He's a captain as well. Let's not demote him.
No, do not do that.
He's Patrick's superior, and he's at the Miami International Boat Show before anyone, because it didn't even open yet. Doesn't open until Thursday.
No, Frank's doing the heavy lifting, so to speak. And Frank, on the segment previous to yours, we had Captain Keith Ammons from Regulator Marine on.
Yeah.
We know that some outboard manufacturers are going to unveil some big things. I know that Regal Marine Industries is going to unveil something down there, can't talk about. But what part of the discussion I was having with Captain Keith is, what do we see here in the next, the 2018 model year, maybe into the 2019 model year, what do we see, or what do you see as being something that's going to be a game changer, is going to lead the way for the next period of time?
Well, it's probably the thing you just said you can't talk about.
Well, no, I can't talk about that.
Well, but Frank, that's Frank, not fair.
Listen, Captain Frank travels all over. He delivers our yachts literally all over. He's in so many different ports and marinas. He's exposed to so many different manufacturers' product, new and older stuff, that he probably has a better idea of what may be coming, or kind of what the feeling is within the industry, what the buying public can expect.
Well, clearly, as you would know, Patrick, the popularity of outboards has really come back. As the horsepower has increased, and you can start putting multiples on these things now, they're starting to end up on the back of actual cruisers that have generators and air conditioners and stuff like that, rather than stern drive propulsion or even some inboard stuff. So that's really got some traction over the last year or so within Regal and other companies as well. So I'm seeing a lot of that. Seeing some creative stuff from some other manufacturers taking off on the RV industry, where you push a button and you know how the side of an RV comes out, kind of makes the thing bigger.
Yeah, expand the cockpit.
Yeah, so they got some of that, not going aft, but going port to starboard.
Right.
Which is, it's kind of neat at the dock. We'll have to see how it'll hold up in 8-foot seas. But,
that would be my concern. One of the things that I pointed out was in the market, something that people kind of overlook a bit, because primarily it's been offered in larger boats, but are stabilizing units.
Yeah, without a doubt. There's, you know, the ones that don't have fins protruding from the bottom, which can be very expensive if you get in water too shallow. Birds that stand there, their legs aren't very long, so you shouldn't go there. But there's a system out there now that we use called Seakeeper. It's basically a gyro that everything's mounted inside the boat. Uses the good old principles of a kid's top. You know, it's spinning at a high RPM and does a pretty doggone good job. And it's less obtrusive in regards to hanging off the back of the, or hanging underneath the bottom of the boat. They've decreased the size of these things now, where you can start getting them in 30 and 35 foot boats.
Yeah,
they were pretty much reserved for yachts before, and the price has come down. So, it's like expensive TVs. Those TVs that used to be $5,000, you can get for $300 now at Big Lots. So, don't know they'll get the $300, but the price has come down pretty drastically.
Yeah,
so,
where do you mount those things? Where do you put them in generally?
Directly amidship.
Okay, just midship.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Low is the key. A lot of boats put them in the aft area, because that's really where they have space. We learned something on one of our models a couple years ago. We put one in, and really the only place we had to put it was a midship. Hmm. And we got excellent results. So a couple models that we've just brought out this year, we actually designed it to put them amidship to to get a better effectiveness out of them.
Got it. It's the same kind of technology for, I'm doing this for people less and you know knowledgeable than I, but it's kind of like how you keep a Segway straight up, right? Same kind of
Absolutely.
Technology.
Good correlation.
You are welcome and thank you. I am a genius.
Great. Now we're going to start. Continue. Now we're going to start putting Segways inside of boats because it'll be a cheaper alternative.
Yeah, well, I don't know about cheaper, but it'll be an alternative.
Well, true. That and the button push thing where it expands the cockpit. I kind of like that idea, but you say it would make it all kind of wonky, maybe?
What's that?
It sees when it expands out like an RV?
Well, the challenge there is it's really designed for when boats are at rest, and as Captain Frank pointed out, the true test is going to be how a unit like that withstands the elements over a period of time, because boats like to be solidly constructed. They don't like to have pieces that pull off the side of the boat and expand it outward, because there's a lot of moving pieces to make that happen. So you've got actuators, and you've got latches, and you've got rails and stuff like that that are prone to corrosion. So, and then you've got the added thing of when the boat, as Captain Frank pointed out, you're out in any type of heavy sea, how well does the boat then withstand? Is it going to start to bend at those points? I mean, when you make a part that can break away like that or expand out, you're taking structure away from the boat at those points.
Well, that's why you never leave the dock without a couple rolls of duct tape. Just in case. Yeah.
Big Tyra.
Right.
Frank, what else is... What else is happening down there that you can talk about here in the last little bit?
I guess the one thing is that, you know, Miami show is now in a new venue, Patrick. We moved there last year. Had some hiccups in the giddy-ups, some growing pains, you know, with transportation and stuff. They seem to have that corrected in a big way. They've overreacted to it, so there's plenty of that transportation, as well as food and stuff like that. Last year it was kind of tough to get something to eat that was worth eating. Now you got anything from a $3 hot dog to a $30 steak. So,
wow.
You know, that they really kind of, you know, jumped into that because they want this to be a long-term event where it's at the Miami Sports Stadium. And I think we're going to have a great show this year. It's expanded a lot. Excuse me. They took away Collins Avenue, which is where they used to have a lot of the yachts, so they've moved over there. So, you know, it's kind of grown within itself, and that's exciting.
Yeah. That's exactly what I thought. I said earlier, if they just continue where they left the last day of last year, this is going to be a huge success. Are you with me on that, Frank? What do you think?
Absolutely.
There you go, Patrick.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
We love boat shows, especially that boat show.
Mm-hmm. No, I do. I mean, are you seeing, you're saying it looks like it's going to be bigger this year, too, from what you're seeing with the exhibits and stuff, or what?
Absolutely. It's grown by about 20%, what they're telling us.
Wow.
That's so we're starting to see that.
Now, what are you guys doing with Regal? Can you give us a little bit of that tease?
Inkling. We've got one of our models that we're going to get quite an acknowledgement coming up. It's an industry award, and it's, you know, we're pretty excited about it. It's one that's given out each year. It's not just like in a segment of a boat. You know, a lot of times they'll choose a style of boat or a length of a boat, and, you know, and make those awards. They pick one award that's given out for a boat in lieu of all boats. And so we were graced enough to win it this year. So we're excited to let that come out. It's on a great boat, too. That's what's exciting.
Okay. And, we can't say what boat it is yet. We got to save that for the boat show. So are you guys doing demos and things like that, too, for people that, I would imagine they have to plan that in advance, even if you offer it, or do you?
Yeah, that's a great point, Greg. That one of the things that came with this new venue is we have the ability, they have some demo docks down on the end.
Right.
And they're at the same area. So we've got three boats down there that we're going to, you know, make available. And typically the propulsion manufacturers man those. So Volvo, MerCruiser, Yamaha, Mercury, those guys, they'll have their team down there. And we give them our product as well as other manufacturers. So it gives people an opportunity, you know what I mean, to go for rides, see some of the new propulsion that's out there. There's some pretty exciting stuff there. that, you know, our industry has really kind of jumped out of their box, so to speak. They've been in this sandbox forever, same engines, just paint them a different color kind of stuff. And they've really, you know, come out of that with some new designs and the performance and the runability, lack of carbon monoxide. These engines are and generators are not producing that at a very low level anymore. So it's made it not only more fun, but safer as well.
Yeah. Yeah, less fun for the stoners. I like to, you know, hang out by the exhaust.
Stop it.
They'll have to get it in a different way.
They'll find a way. Fly to Colorado or something. Yeah.
They still sell cans of 12-ounce Scourge.
That's true. That is so true. All right, Captain Frank, thank you so much. Enjoy yourself at the Miami International Boat Show. We'll check in with you again real soon, okay?
All right. You guys take care.
There you go.
Thanks, Frank.
Very nice. Very nice.
Captain Frank Stober, all-around great guy. Delivery,
and your superior,
Captain.
Regal Marine.
Frank and I work hand-in-hand. We have
now you're on this level playing field. I thought he was your superior. You sure?
I don't report to Frank.
Oh. I still think he's superior.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Do you have a compelling story of what inspired you to become a paddy diver or paddy professional? Has your paddy certification changed your life, relationship, or career in some unique way? The Professional Association of Diving Instructors wants to share your story to inspire others to start, keep, or teach diving. For more information, please visit paddy.com/mystory. That's paddy.com/mystory. And thanks for choosing Paddy, the way the world learns to dive.
Scuba diving is an activity for all ages. However, immersion alone can be a stressor on the heart and circulatory system. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you how to stay heart healthy as you dive next. Scuba
Radio. This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN. Your Dive Safety Association.
Nearly one-third of diving fatalities are associated with an acute cardiac event. Maintain your healthy heart with proper diet and exercise. Monitoring your blood pressure, glucose, and cholesterol levels and adhering to any treatment measures prescribed by your physician is crucial, even if you've had an event like myself. After some time and clearance from a physician, you can still safely dive. Dive into DAN.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Oh, look at this. So much fun, you'll ship your pants.
You'll ship your pants, bro!
This is the World Boating. Greg, your first mate, that is me, along with Captain Patrick, rounding out the crew as we navigate the latest boating news and information. There actually is something going on other than the Miami International Boat Show, which starts Thursday, and we'll cover it, you know, appropriately next week on the big show. And you know, that's one and two's department on the World of Boating Facebook page. So are we going to navigate some of that now, Patrick, or what do you think?
We can.
Okay. What do you got?
Well, here's the thing. We are, of course, blessed down here in Florida with some terrific weather. Elsewhere in the country, not so much, especially if you're up in the Northeast right now. But
glad we're not you.
Here is a boating safety tip from your friends at the World of Boating.
Okay.
If you're trailering your boat to the boat ramp and you get to the boat ramp, and the ramp is covered in ice. Turn around and go home. Your boating day is over. Don't wind up like this guy up in Washington on the Snake River, and where he lost not only his trailer and not only his boat, but his pickup truck as well.
Ah, forgot the chains.
No, your day is done. It's done.
Spikes? He could have spikes on his wheels?
No, your day is done. Look, if you go out to your boat and you're going to get ready to you got a weekend planned, don't wait until Saturday morning to check, make sure everything's okay. You need to do that during the course of the week. And if something isn't working, that should be, like a blower, like a bilge pump, if the engine won't start unless you're dumping starting fluid or, God forbid, putting gasoline down to throw to the carburetor if you still have a carbureted engine, your boating day, it's done.
All right, so if there's ice on the ramp, drive south.
Yes.
Come to Florida.
Keep going until the weather gets much, much nicer.
Yeah. Okay.
Greg, you, as we've discussed a lot over the years.
I'm a genius? Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
You have scuba dive. Scuba dove? Is it scuba dived or scuba dove?
Dived.
Scuba dived?
Mm-hmm.
All over the world.
I have.
Been in some pretty nasty conditions, would you say? Or has it always been pristine?
Well, nasty is not the right word. Challenging, yes.
How about the Detroit River?
No, I have never dove the Detroit River. You know, when it comes to diving, you know, I look for, you know, pretty coral fish, critters, things like that. I avoid, you know, firearms, bodies, knives, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that's what they're pulling up from the Detroit River. Apparently, yeah. apparently, this is a thing to go scuba diving in the Detroit River.
Well, hey, to each his own.
And but they are locating stuff such as guns and some Jeep Cherokees and
A
6,000-pound hanker and
Jimmy Hoffa.
Hoffa, but they did they did find 1700s era cannons that they believe were used by the British military.
Wow.
So
they've been down a while,
but,
then.
Been down a while, but the you know the story which is posted on worldofboating.com and the World of Boating Facebook page, the conditions of the scuba diver. What do they call it when they have that full
helmet diving?
No, it's not a helmet, but he's got the strap over the top and the strap this way, but it's like a big square.
Full face mask.
Okay, so just a full face mask. I guess you need that if you're in the Detroit River.
Well, you do for a couple reasons. First of all, that's how you can communicate. Because typical diving, you have a regulator in your mouth, you can't talk. So if you have full face mask, you can communicate with
comm gear. You told me take the regulator out and talk.
Oh, that was just for you. That was a special instruction I just gave to Patrick. I will let people figure out why. But yeah, and then the other reason people use full face masks on scuba is to avoid toxic surroundings.
Yeah, which I would think.
For example, the
Detroit River.
Yeah.
Speaking of scuba divers, even though this is the World of Boating, there's a new restaurant that opened up in Belgium. It is the Pearl, and you are served
underwater. I'm aware of this place.
Did you see the stupidest thing I think I have ever seen? I don't get it. I mean, I understand scuba diving, and I understand the thrill and the allure of doing that, but I don't understand being down in this enclosed sphere and then having your meals delivered by scuba diving waiters.
Yeah. Well, the worst part is that they're bringing sushi down.
Your food gets you. It's all wet.
Well, it's fish. It's like, hey, wait a minute. I'm down here to look at the fish to eat them? No, that isn't the idea.
Oh, right outside the window. They're killing your meal as you wait.
Actually, it's in a pool. It's not even in the ocean from what I saw. Isn't it in a pool? I don't think so.
I'm one of those on that one that I wasn't going to spend a whole lot of time on that story
because
I thought it was stupid.
Yeah.
When it does come to boating, though, and we've heard over the years the challenges that are associated with anchoring your boat properly, especially in less than ideal conditions, and things that you should do. One, of course, would be not to anchor your boat and to make your way into port if at all possible. Second would be, of course, maybe to have some sea anchors and rely on those and not be dropping a bow and stern anchors, which could tend to drag. But even the U.S. Navy has its challenges because they had a Navy-guided missile cruiser, the Antietam, that ran aground off the coast of Japan when it started dragging its anchor. So it happens even to the professionals.
Uh-huh.
And now there's a job opening if you're in the
Navy. All they had to do was called CETO, and they were good to go, right?
Yeah, that wasn't happening.
No, that didn't work for them.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Live and learn. Know when you make a mistake, other folks that know better do as well, so maybe you won't feel as much like a dummy. All right?
You speak from experience, do you?
Just quiet. We'll leave it at that. Till next time, remember, whether it's sail or motor,
life is better as a boater.
Safe boating, everyone.
A barnacle-bitten swab.
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.